The planning bill, third biggest piece of legislation in the history of the state, came in for the chop today after 3 hours of a session today. I suppose its proponents would say it's had a long time being digested in the Dáil. Its opponents would say not time enough.
Exactly. I think, you know, this bill has grown substantially in recent days, an additional 170 pages of amendments. But look, it is a substantial bill. Government argue that this is what is necessary now to ensure that the planning process is now completely streamlined, that it will essentially solve the housing crisis. I suppose some of the biggest changes that we're going to see here is we're no longer going to have on board Planála. It's going to be replaced with on Comisión Planála. So that will mean, you know, a change from the chair and the board look of the. It's going to be a commission now. There'll be a head of the commission, 14 commissioners, and there's also going to be reforms to the process for taking judicial reviews. There's going to be minimum requirements for residence groups to take these sort of reviews. So they're going to have a constitution. They're going to have to take a vote before they take a judicial review. And local authorities as well. They're going to have to draw up 10-year development plans instead of six, which is what is currently in place. And one of the biggest issues, I think, for opposition is that this is going to be really centralised in terms of the power structure now, as opposed to, you know, having local authorities and local planning authorities in charge of this. So, yeah, it hasn't come without controversy, really.
All right. Let's we'll come back to some of the process issues afterwards. But let's look at, I suppose, what it is designed to do, Mary Siri Kearney. Given the separation of powers, how is this going to speed the progress up of challenges that are taken in the courts? Is this just an exercise in denying people access to the courts without being able to influence timings through the courts?
Well, first of all, I suppose from the outset, the outcome of a planning decision will be more predictable, and there are mechanisms put into it that will show that will streamline that, so that when an application for planning goes in, it'll be in the context of the 10-year plan for an area. There will also be local area plans within that. So that perspective means having a more predictable outcome than the on board Planála procedure. The idea, I suppose, judicial reviews at this moment in time can be taken by anybody. They don't have to have what is written into this bill and now Act, which is this, you know, sufficient interest. And demonstrating sufficient interest will be very important as part of being able to make a judicial review on it. So that you can't have some arbitrary person who, and there have been nuisance, vexatious planning and judicial reviews over the years that have held up an awful lot of developments, have held up an awful lot of housing. So streamlining that, the people who live close to it, residents close to it, none of them will be prohibited from making objections and having that. But let's say an environmental group will have to be an actual established environmental group, not a couple of people putting in a judicial review, but under that sort of a title. So from that point, it is going to be a better process.
All right. Thomas Pringle, I see you shaking your head there at that. Anybody, of course, watching it on telly may have been able to see Thomas Pringle shaking his head. Anybody tuned in, I'll have to point that out to them. You clearly disagree, but I mean, if environmental groups, established environmental groups with a constitution, board, etc., are still able to intervene where they have a view that, you know, a project shouldn't go ahead, and local residents can intervene if they have skin in the game, and vexatious challenges are cut out, would you welcome a development like that? And does this bill do it, in your view?
No, this bill certainly doesn't do it, because what this bill actually does, it allows the minister to set the costs of a judicial challenge before it actually takes place, which means that the ability of residence groups and stuff to get there to actually use the courts to challenge the system is limited. And because, say, for example, the minister could set the costs at being €500,000 for a challenge, and the challenge might turn out to be €1 million, So the other €500,000 has to be paid for by the residents association or something like that there. And that is wrong, and that is absolutely, totally wrong. And the important thing to remember about this as well is that a judicial review is when the courts recognise that there is something legally wrong with the decision that has been made, and that it's how the decision is arrived at that has to be reviewed. And that's a part of our function in democracy, supposed to be a part of our function in democracy, that a judiciary should be able to adjudicate on that. And when you think about it too, like, I mean, there's actually only probably around about 0.3% of planning applications actually end up before the courts. So it's not holding back the housing issues or anything like that there. It's actually just about stopping people, ordinary people and environmental bodies having a role in the planning process. That's what this is about. It's about facilitating developers to make sure that they get their development through quickly. And that's all this is about.
All right, Mairead Farrell.
I suppose I kind of come from a little bit of a different point on this, and that's the whole issue of that it's not just actually the opposition that are having issues. We've seen it from the Irish Planning Institute. We've seen concerns raised by the Irish Bar Association and the Law Society. And I suppose it comes from the fact that it actually seems that it would be because of the way it is, that it's going to lead to more conflicts, and that there'll be huge conflicts, and that in turn will, I mean, increased appeals, and also that it'll actually slow down the process in terms of the delay. I like that there'll be more of a delay in terms of housing or critical infrastructure. So we have a situation whereby the minister will have the authority to bring in new planning rules without having the debate within the Oireachtas. That could then be something that doesn't sit with, say, county or city development plans, and impacts then, I suppose, that would have. So it's seen, and it's not just by opposition, it's also, as I said, by professionals within the area, something that will actually have, I suppose, the opposite effect as to what it says on the tin.
Right. Is this another case, Mary Siri Kearney, of ignoring the experts?
No, this is 3 years in the making. So this hasn't just sprung up overnight. It was 3 years in the making. There was 120 hours in committee stage in the Dáil. There was extensive pre-legislative scrutiny. Over two-thirds of the recommendations from that pre-legislative scrutiny are now were taken in and progressed within this bill.
But if there's 177 pages of amendments, and there have been, it can have all the time it wants, but if people advance amendments and there isn't the time to debate it, is it getting adequate scrutiny?
There were ministerial amendments. They came from, it was the minister that brought them in the Shannon. And they are consistent with what his objectives were and have been set out from the very beginning. There are refinements, some of them are technical amendments. So from that perspective, we need to get to a place where planning actually works to the benefit of the people who need housing, and not that you have situations where people can just hold up planning for spurious reasons and vexatious reasons, which have actually been the case.
Do you want to address what Thomas Pringle there said, that 0.3% of cases
tend to be big developments. They do tend to be sizable developments, are the ones that actually are going, find themselves in judicial review. There is a threshold. Not everybody gets to judicial review. There is a threshold of a hearing beforehand. And the minister brought in a scale of fees and party fees. So each party is to pay their own fees. But that there was also a fee support, brought in. So ordinary people are not prevented from interjecting here and having their say in and bringing that to a judicial review. None of that is going to be prohibited.
Right. If the minister was serious about developing and about ensuring that development takes place, he would actually introduce rules to enforce developers to actually act on the planning permissions that they have. Because there's a huge problem with developers sitting on planning permissions to increase the value of land, and that's solely what happens in relation here. The amount of planning applications that end up in judicial review, and that there doesn't have an impact on the actual delivery of housing across the state. What has an impact on the delivery of housing is developers sitting on property to ensure the maximum.
So in your view, is there nothing wrong with the planning system in the country?
No, the planning system does, there is stuff that needs to be done, but I don't think it needs to be done in terms of the minister bringing in amendments into the Shannon last week and having them rush through the Dáil this week. If the minister had so much consultation and we've gone on for so many years, and how is it that he arrives having to put amendments into the Shannon and report stage in the Shannon that have to come back into the Dáil, and are only where we had 626 amendments, a lot of them were for ministers' own amendments, and they arrived to other amendments, so they had to come back into the Dáil, and the Dáil all had to debate them today. That's wrong. And if the minister is serious about it, he would have a proper process and would actually have proper consultation and proper discussion on the amendments.
And look, I mean, out of the 170 amendments, only 40 were able to be discussed in that 3 hour period today. And like, while, yeah, there was a lot of pre-legislative scrutiny at the end of the day in any bill, if you have to bring forward as many as those amendments, then it is obviously of concern. But and the fact then that it couldn't be debated in full. But look, I mean, I suppose, you know, when Darragh Bryan initially said that he was going to basically consolidate 20 years of planning legislation into this bill, like, from what I understand, like, the experts in that initially welcomed that, but now there is a lot of concern about this particular bill, and they've been vocal on that. Also, there's been some concern about actually having enough staff to, you know, deal with all these changes as well, and where those planners and the experts will come from as well in terms of hiring. But, like, I mean, we do have an issue in terms of planning. Just to be very clear here, we do have an issue in terms of planning. You know, we're waiting on the Gaeltacht draft guidelines in terms of planning. These are just the draft guidelines. We've been promised them for over 2 years, 2.5 years now we've been waiting for those, and we still can't get a date for them. That means that there's a huge impact in all the Gaeltacht communities, because they simply do not have the guidelines. They're the draft guidelines, and there needs to be consultation, and then the actual guidelines need to happen. What it means is, at the moment, in Gaeltacht areas, you can't buy, you can't build, and you can't rent. Just, it's unaffordable, and there isn't the places there. So there's huge issues in terms of planning. None of us are saying that there isn't. But the question here is about this bill, and whether that bill is the panacea it's being made out to be. And we in Sinn Féin have concerns about it, but we're not the only ones.
All right.
I think it's important to say that the bill itself, or now that it is an act, it is going to be commenced in phased stages. So it's not that the entire volume of it, which it is sizable, to be fair, is going to come into law immediately and be implemented immediately. It is being phased, and there will be backup and support for the rollout of it. So I'm optimistic that it will bring great change, and much needed change.
Claire Scott, the time afforded to it, though, was a big bugbear. This issue of the 177 pages of amendments and 3 hours to have a look at them, you know, it caused considerable ire in the Dáil, and people feeling that, you know, the Dáil of the Oireachtas effectively was being bypassed.
100%. I think Ivana Bacik was bringing this up at Leaders' Questions earlier today with Heather Humphrey, saying that it was unacceptable that this was just 3 hours for significant changes, particularly around one of the key changes that is being brought in that has kind of come under fire recently, is in relation to the storage facilities for liquefied natural gas. This is something that actually Mark Ruffalo, of all people, has also weighed in on, and criticising the Green Party in relation to standing over this change. And, you know, a number of opposition party figures brought that up this evening. Richard Boyd Barrett said that it was kind of agreed with Ivana Bacik that it is unacceptable that this is being discussed, and it wasn't actually given the right amount of time. It was kind of a few minutes that Kino Callaghan, Ivana Bacik and Richard brought this up, that it needed to be debated to the full extent, but it wasn't.
All right. Thomas Pringle, the minister, said that, you know, the LNG terminal that's being proposed will not be used for fracked gas. It's there effectively as a backup, as an interim measure until renewable sources of energy can be brought on stream. You don't believe him?
No. I mean, the fact is that probably renewable energy will be on stream long before this storage facility will be built at all, and that's what's important in relation to this. But and why it's actually been put into the Planning Act now to shows that the government wants to make sure that this happens, and we're actually going to end up with a stranded resource sitting there. Hopefully it'll be a stranded resource, but we'll see now that probably our renewable energies and stuff like that, there will be held back to ensure that the money can be made out of the liquefied natural gas the facility whenever. Now it'll probably be at least four to five years before it'll be actually built and up and operation, and hopefully our renewable energies will be long on the road that we won't actually need it.
All right, but I suppose, you know, the events of 2 years ago with the invasion of Ukraine by Russia and the impact on gas supply there, other European countries who had even been supplied by Russia built extra storage facilities because of the shortage, the sudden shortage that had come upon the continent. I mean, do you take any cognizance of that?
Well, they built them and they're done and they're built now. You know, that's happened, that's years later, that we're still talking about it, and it'll still be years ahead. And what we have to be doing and focusing on is on renewable energy, solar power, and also wind power, and offshore wind power is where we are going to have the future in terms of renewable energy for Ireland, and indeed for the rest of Europe as well, if we can export it. And that's what the government should be focusing on and should actually be making happen, not driving legislation to put forward for an LNG facility in Shannon.
All right, the LNG facility, Mairead Farrell, on that, is your party for or against?
No, so like, I mean, we were totally shocked, to be honest, at this particular development, because Eamon Ryan actually came in front of the committee on the 19th of September, and he literally said that commercial LNG is not a strategic priority, but it's exactly what this amendment allows for, and it obviously came in extremely last minute as well. In terms of energy security, like, obviously everybody needs to be, you know, cognizant of energy security. But if we look at it, you know, we had a 50-hour deficit, I think, in 2020, and it's gone down to a 3-hour deficit in 2024. But, you know, this is also an aspect of the commercial aspect of it. Like, there's no safeguards in it in terms of, like, you know, it should be, if you were even going down that road, like, you would think you'd be talking about state-led or something like that. But this is an issue in terms of actually a commercial aspect of it.
So is your objection to it that the ownership of it?
No. I have an objection to it, but I'm just saying, like,
even is that based on the source of the gas or just building it at all?
Well, no, like, it's based on the fact that, you know, we shouldn't be looking at, obviously, increasing gas demand. Obviously, it should be state-owned and all those things. But the reality is here, first of all, is that there's a commercial element. Obviously, we all have to be cognizant of energy security. We need to move towards renewables very clearly here. But even if you were to say to yourself, right, OK, well, because of energy security, this needs to be done, which I don't agree with, you wouldn't be looking at it in a commercial way, would you, really? But it's it's 5 minute to midnight, this kind of decision that comes in then suddenly to, although Eamon Ryan had said in committee only a few weeks ago that it wasn't going to have commercial.
All right, Mary Searle Kearney, for such an important strategic decision, it's coming on stream a bit late in the day, is it?
I think it's reactive to the last number of years and the shock 2 years ago and the experience of an
reactive
energy crisis.
2 years later.
Well, it's coming through in the planning bill. The fact is that, you know, my home constituency is Dublin South Central. 66% of the homes in Dublin South Central are reliant on gas for their heating and their cooking. So we can't have a situation of a sudden shock. This is a temporary arrangement. It is the description of it given to me is a floating regasification and storage unit, a giant specialised tanker ship. You know, so that is what is being planned. It does come under a necessity for energy security. Hopefully it wouldn't be needed. Hopefully we will build to a place of renewables, because that is essentially where government is driving and what we need to get to. But in the event that it's not, we can't have homes cold. We can't have people not able to cook. We have to have a contingency situation in the same way that other countries have had. And so it is wise to have a provision within there that we can do this. It can be fast-tracked as a strategic infrastructure if the necessity arises.
But I suppose, again, it comes to the point, I suppose, really, like, I mean, it is that commercial element comes into it again. I mean, I think all of us would agree that, you know, you need energy security. However, like, you know, we need to move towards renewables. But the point here is, like, it just seems like something that, if this was something that Eamon Ryan said only on the 19th of September, it wasn't going to happen. And then suddenly now, you know, three weeks later, he's changed his mind and there's this commercial element. You'd really wonder, what is the background to this? Why, you know, is it simply in terms of energy security? And I would have questions on that.
All right. Just going back to something you said earlier about the planning bill and how it'll be introduced, you know, rolled out in its implementation, Mary Searle Kearney, you said it'd be done on a phased basis.
But yeah, the commencement of sections will be on a phased basis.
But could it not have been debated and passed in phased sections and allowed for greater scrutiny rather than a big omnibus bill?
That's a very good question, but generally that isn't
that's what
the case
I'm here
with
for.
Bills.
You have any good answers?
You're on the big bucks. I mean, bills aren't, they aren't passed in sections. They aren't done in such a way. They're done as a complete bill, a complete act, and some take a number of years for them to be commenced. So that's,
I know,
not
but
unusual.
When there's so many disparate elements to it, I mean, we have this LNG terminal is one thing that's possibly worth a bill of its own. Then there's the planning aspects of it. That's, you know, access to the courts for that. That's potentially another bill. But it's been bundled together in an omnibus bill. Could it not have been done in staggered pieces of legislation?
Then we would have ended up with the shambles that we've had beforehand, which is of disparate number of bills under planning and development, and having to refer and needing, you know, needing the law reform commission to pull it all together with commentary before you can find and navigate your way through. You know,
we would have ended up with democratic scrutiny.
Well, we did have democratic scrutiny. We had pre-legislative scrutiny that went on, and we had over
3-hour debate where only, I think, 40 amendments out of 626 were actually debated today.
Well, I think that's disingenuous. The passage of the committee stage was outrageous.
It's not disingenuous at all.
It was outrageously delayed. It was really outrageous. You had people in the Dáil complaining about the number of bells that were going off, because the bells were going off every 15 minutes. Not that when you knew what was going on, you didn't. But people were wondering, what is going on with the bells? Because there was that many votes that were over the over 100 hours on the 22 meetings of the committee stage. There was extensive negotiation and some going in and repeating again and again. So, you know,
we need to be mindful of what actually occurred.
We need to cover a few more topics, but you want to come in on this?
I think if a bill of such magnitude, and we've just, you know, it's one of the biggest bills that we've seen come through, then it needs that level of scrutiny. That's what we're there for. Committee stage is where you get to tease out the debates, you know, and the bills and legislation. You know, people watch, you know, the Dáil debates, but it's at committee stage where you really get into the nitty gritty of it. But sure, look, I mean, Eamon Ryan obviously told us on the 19th September he's going to do one thing and then, you know, change his mind a few weeks later.
All right, Clare Scott, but before we move on to the business of the Health Committee today, the passage of this planning bill will lead to speculation about other matters, won't it?
Well, I think you touched on it there. I think the fact that this is being pushed through at such speed suggests that, you know, we've got a general election on the horizon. Imminently. The rumour now is November 22nd. But who knows, really? Everyone's going to be carefully watching the finance bill. And everyone's also going to be carefully watching the social welfare bill. Any slight changes to that, we'll be reading into.
Yeah.
Heather Humphreys mentioned a report today at Leaders' Questions that she wanted by the end of the year, and I was like, "What does that mean?" So everything is being closely watched. I can tell you that.